The God Shot, healing trauma's legacy, the science, the stories, the solution. By Eugene Lipov and Lauren Ungeldy. Disclaimer. This book explores real-life experiences with trauma, including stories of loss, violence, and personal struggle. Some content may be emotionally intense or triggering for certain readers. If you encounter a section that feels overwhelming, please listen to your instincts. Take a break, skip ahead, or return when you feel ready. The intention of this book is not to dwell on pain, but to offer hope, healing, and real solutions. This book is for informational purposes only. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, or replace professional medical or psychiatric advice. Always consult with a licensed healthcare provider before making changes related to your health or mental well-being. Take what serves you, leave what doesn't, and above all, remember, you are not alone. Keep the hope alive. Contents. Chapter 1, Origin Story of a Trauma Innovator. Who is Eugene Lipov, MD? If you asked 100 people who've crossed paths with me throughout my life that question, you'd likely get 100 different answers. Some might call me a trauma expert, an anesthesiologist, or a pain doctor. A few might, with a smirk, refer to me as the needle plunger, a nickname from a few dubious colleagues. Not because of any secret drug habit, but because one of the biggest breakthroughs of my career involved treating trauma with the push of a needle. Others might label me a trailblazer in trauma treatment, pushing the boundaries of what's possible in modern medicine. There's someone out there who might even tell you that I saved their loved one from suicide. And then, out of those 100, at least one would laugh and call me a crazy crockpot. That's thanks to my unorthodox methods, my relentless curiosity, and my refusal to accept the status quo. For the most part, they'd all be right. Except for the fellow who called me a crockpot, I'd like to think he's wrong. But then again, maybe a touch of madness is necessary for anyone bold enough to try and change the world. But my story didn't start with a white coat and a hospital badge. In fact, it began long before I was even born. Trauma, as we now know, has the power to flip genetic switches, altering gene expression across generations. A phenomenon called epigenetic inheritance. While this doesn't change the DNA itself, it leaves an imprint that ripples through time. This gene malleability means that the echoes of trauma don't just stop with those who experienced it firsthand. It extends to their children and grandchildren, perpetuating a cycle of inherited pain and resilience. This means that long before I took my first breath, trauma had already shaped me. The scars of my ancestors were woven into my very DNA, a silent inheritance passed down through a lineage marred by war and suffering. Though invisible, this legacy shaped me in ways both subtle and profound. I didn't know it as a child, but that genetic imprint made me more susceptible to developing PTSD than someone born with different DNA. So, my story begins with my grandfather, a survivor of the brutal atrocities that ravaged Ukraine in the early 1900s. My father was born in 1925, just in time to be swept into the storm of World War II. Thrust into the heart of that conflict, he joined a squadron of 10,000 young men, thousands thrown into the furnace of war, facing death at every turn. When the dust finally settled, only 100 of those men returned home. My father was one of them. But the scars he carried weren't merely physical. They were etched deep into his soul, shaping the man he would become and how he would raise his children. The traumatic events he endured didn't just end with him. They became a part of our family's very DNA. My father was a war hero and a physician, a man whose brilliance was matched only by the depth of the scars he carried. While he survived the Second World War, most of his friends did not. He saw things that most cannot imagine. His temper was like a tightly coiled spring, ready to snap at any moment. Living with him was like navigating a minefield. One wrong move and the explosion of rage that followed could leave us all shattered. Our home wasn't a sanctuary. It was a battleground where my mother, brother, and I lived on edge constantly, trying to avoid becoming casualties of his private war. His anger left emotional bruises that mirrored the physical ones he must have endured. I was born in 1958 in Cherkasy, Ukraine, just a few hours from Kyiv. Cherkasy was more than just my hometown. It was a stronghold of resilience, a place where survival wasn't just a necessity, it was an art form. The city made history as a fierce battleground during World War II, the site of the Battle of Korsun-Cherkassy, part of a massive Soviet offensive that sought to push the German forces out of Ukraine. This was more than just a footnote in history books. It was a living, breathing part of our heritage, etched into the streets and stories of Cherkassy, shaping the lives of everyone who called it home. My mother, a physician like my father, was the epitome of strength and sacrifice, balancing her professional aspirations with the harsh realities of post-war life. But over time, the relentless strain of living with my father's unchecked rage began to wear her down. The vibrant woman she once was gradually faded into a shadow of her former self, her spirit eroded by the constant tension that filled our home. My father's unhealed trauma was like a virus, infecting every corner of our lives. It spread through our household, taking hold of my mother, wrapping around her until her bright eyes dimmed under the weight of unspoken fears and relentless anxiety. She tried to be the glue that held us together, but the emotional and psychological assaults frayed her nerves and sapped her strength. The joy she once found in her work and family was slowly replaced by a weary resignation, and her smile became an increasingly rare sight, an echo of the woman she used to be. My parents were the kind of people who, in another place and time, might have lived comfortably in a plush home on a quiet corner block. But this was Cherkassy, where work was as scarce as warmth in winter. We lived in a small two-bedroom house, where the bare walls only seemed to amplify the emptiness within. The furniture was purely functional, reflecting a life defined by frugality and simplicity, with no room for luxuries. There were no pictures on the walls, no trinkets or ornaments to add a personal touch. My parents shared one room. My brother and I slept in the living room. Every morning, I packed away my bedding to make room for the day's activities. Our home was a stark reflection of our reality. Survival was our primary concern, and comfort was a luxury we couldn't afford. There is very little that I remember clearly about my childhood. In fact, the vast mental archives where most people file and store thousands of young memories are largely empty for me. The brain has a way of protecting itself. And mine, faced with the burden of storing dozens of traumatic memories, decided it was better to wipe the old disk clean than to play 100 recordings of my father's rage, my mother's screams, and the stinging pain on my backside from repeated beatings. But there are a few memories that somehow survived the sweep. I remember the cold, those frigid, bleak gray winters when the chill didn't just stay outside. It seeped into every corner of our house and every inch of my skin. No amount of layers could keep it at bay. As a child, I didn't even realize how poor we were until the winter I turned 6, when our home became an icebox. I asked my mother why she'd stopped adding coal to the stove, and her answer was simple: we didn't have money to buy any. The cold wasn't just a temperature, it was a presence creeping into our bones and settling deep within. Beyond the cold, I remember my mother making herring and mashed potatoes with garlic. She hated cooking and wasn't particularly good at it, but somehow the mashed potatoes and herring always turned out well. It was our little culinary miracle amidst the bleakness, a small comfort in a world that offered so few. Family vacations to Sochi, along the Black Sea in southern Russia, were nothing short of torture, and I hated them with a passion. It wasn't just the fact that the Black Sea was rumored to be 70.